Welcome to another episode of Leaders Learning from Leaders. Dr. Gladys Cruz, the District Superintendent of Questar 3 BOCES in New York State and the current president of AASA, the National School Superintendents Association, is our guest today. Dr. Cruz holds a PhD in curriculum and instruction and master's degrees in curriculum and instructional technology, as well as bilingual education. Welcome, Dr. Cruz.
Thank you so much for having me, Steve. It's great to see you and work with you again.
I really appreciate your time. I'm wondering, for starters, if you'd describe for people a little bit about Questar 3 BOCES and your role there as superintendent.
Absolutely. So there are 37 BOCES in the state of New York. And we act as an intermediate agency, public school agency, between the state education department and the school districts. I have 22 school districts in my region. I talk about my role as a hybrid. So I have dual roles. I am the superintendent of our BOCES, and I am also the commissioner's representative in the field. So if there's anything that needs to be looked at in the region, the commissioner will task me with that work. We were created through legislation, and the purpose is that districts can come together and expand their offerings, their programmatic offerings for students and districts in a cost-efficient way. So, for example, if there were students in a district that wanted to have a heavy equipment operations and maintenance experience, instead of that district doing it alone, the BOCES can do it, and then you can have two students from one district, one from the other, another student from the other, and then you have a class, and it's much more cost effective. So, and then as a special incentive, the state education department does provide state aid to districts for being collaborative and working through the BOCES.
Well, you've got the pulse of quite a large number of educators, and I'm guessing also a rather diverse group across the area that you cover. And you've been at the BOCES for several years in different roles. What would you see as some of the important signs of progress that have been made during that time?
So I think one of the things that we've been able to do is, you know, the region, and this was really, I think, fast-tracked with the pandemic. The region's superintendents, we come together a lot. During the pandemic, that was exponential. We came together at the beginning every day, and then we brought it down to 5 days, 3 days. And just this past year, we've been meeting once a week just to connect. Because there's so many things going on. So the collaboration among leaders has become so important, and they connect constantly with each other. And I think that's critical because, as you know, the superintendent role can be very lonely. There's only one in each district. But when you have colleagues that you can connect with, and say, hey, I'm dealing with this. Anybody have any ideas? And we have a listserv for our superintendents. And if someone's dealing with an issue, they'll reach out to their colleagues and say, hey, I'm dealing with this. Anybody has some suggestions? So it's a very collaborative group. And, they depend on each other. So it's the synergy among the superintendents in the region has grown. You know, they're very friendly. They look forward to being together.
That pulse that you have of what's happening. I'm wondering what you would identify as some of the current challenges that are kind of at the top of school leaders' list today.
So, you know, of course, the funding. So the federal government gave schools significant funding during the pandemic, and that is now, drying out. So how that's going to be replaced, and some districts, given the challenges that our students have faced over the last few years, you know, mental health issues have risen, behavior issues have risen. They've had to put a lot of supports into the systems for that very, you know, for that reason. And losing those funds is going to, and how you can keep some of these supports is a big challenge. And we talk about that all the time. You know, another challenge that you know everyone's facing is, you know, the change of diesel buses to electric buses. That is something that, you know, there's an infrastructure issue. There's a lot of pieces that have to be dealt with to make that change. Then there's a big shortage of educators, as you well know, and it's not only in the region, it's not only in New York State, it's across the country. We have seen that individuals going into education has decreased over time. And I don't think this will be an issue. Like, all of these issues are not like they're a 1 year or 2 year issues. This is going to take, I believe, at least a decade to get, you know, to again start enticing individuals to come to education, because it's the best profession. You get to touch upon everyone. If it's a dentist, they have to go through education. If it's a doctor, a lawyer. So I always say I'm biased. It's the best profession. I was not intending to be an educator. I was on track to become a dentist. So I was in natural sciences, and I was offered a opportunity very early on to become a teacher, an English teacher in Puerto Rico, because there was a shortage of educators like now. And I for 2 years said no, and then that last year I said, well, and they said, will you go to an interview? And I said, sure, and they lured me in. But that I think that's a big challenge that's on everyone's mind. Just to give you an example, right now I am actually surveying all of our superintendents, asking them which are the different positions, the teacher positions that they're struggling to fill, and I'm inventorying that, and I intend to share that with the State Education Department. But that is a huge, those are some huge issues and challenges that we're all facing.
As I was listening to you go through those challenges, what strikes me as they seem to call for me to redesign and rethinking more than a problem to solve. And, you know, it seems it's not go getting the funding to do this. It's stepping back and looking at the whole design of the whole system and what may need to change because of that.
I would agree. I would totally agree. I'm sure you're aware of ASA brought together a commission, we were asked to think boldly about the education system, and it's the Commission of Learning 2025, and there's a report, and there's a whole initiative that is bringing together educators from across the country to talk about and to share how they're transforming their systems. And that is so important, because what, you know, you just take a simple thing like, you know, in the past, you would post a position and for elementary ed, and you would get 300 applicants, right? That's not the case anymore.
Yeah.
So we need to change everything,
yeah.
Starting even from our recruitment approach.
Yep.
So everything, we really need to, as you said, step back, look at what we're doing, and say, this is not going to work in today's reality. How can we do some things differently? You know, I'm a big fan of, you know, in my role, I get to be creative and create new things. And I'm a big fan of creating opportunities for students that are out of the box kind of thing. And we, you know, during the pandemic, we launched a STEM high school on a college campus, on a two-year college campus. The goal is that students graduate with an associate's degree,
yep.
in STEM fields, which are so much needed, and not have to, you know, as the same time as they're graduating from high school, so that they don't have that added step. So, you know, we have to look for ways to transform our system to meet the needs of our learners, because our learners today are not the learners that we were, right? We didn't have the technology that we have today. You know, if you think about how we used to look for, we used to do research, and we used to have to go to a library and pull all those books. You don't have to do that.
The card catalog. I went to the card catalog.
We don't have to do any of that. Now it's about being critical, you know, being critical thinkers, discerning among, you know, good references and good information that you have at your fingertips in a second.
As I was hearing you describe what we need to do in solving those problems, the whole collaboration issue of superintendents kind of surfaced. And as I was reading some of your post online, I think I identified a focus on collaboration in your thinking. So I'm wondering if you'd describe how that focus impacts your leadership.
So, you know, I am a believer of collective wisdom. So I always, you know, when you put in a room a group of leaders, the solutions to problems is better than if you're thinking on your own. So I truly believe that we need to come together to solve some of the issues and challenges we're dealing with. Gladys on her own is not going to be able to solve these. But if the 23 of us, and this was very, you know, it was illustrated during the pandemic. We had no playbook. You know, we were, and we've continued to have challenges, you know, like the swatting calls last year and all that. There was no playbook. So we're here. We were coming together, trying to get a consistent message across the region, so that, because here's some of the issues that we have to think about. So you may be District X, and staff from your district live in District Y. You know, we are living in a, as you know, in a very interconnected world, and we need to, so we were able to come up with, you know, constant communications that were consistent across the region. And that, I believe, was helpful for all our educators, our families, and you know, and we worked with during the pandemic, we worked with all the health agencies. You know, it was a perfect storm and a perfect opportunity to bring people together. and collaborate to solve the problems we had in front of us. And I think that that mindset has to continue, because the truth is that we're being faced with challenges every day that they're not technical problems. They're like really comprehensive, complicated issues, and it really takes looking at different perspectives, and it takes a group of individuals of thinking together on how to come to some solutions to these problems. In terms of, like, for example, the shortages. So we in our last contract, we negotiated tuition reimbursement for our staff. And then I went to a local university, four-year university, and I said, I want to get some courses in. These are the areas that I want to get the courses in. So we did micro-credentials, a series of three stackable micro-credentials for teaching assistants that would be interested in taking these courses to, improve their craft, and for the career technical ed teachers, because they come from the business and they need to get certified. I was amazed. I said, well, let's try to get 12 volunteers. We had 20 and a wait list. And then when that cohort finished with those three courses, they said, we want more. And I said, I'm not stopping learning. Anybody wants to learn, I'm for that. So we did another series of three. So I'm looking for way, and I share this with our districts, and we're looking for ways to do things collaboratively across the region.
I'm hearing there's no normal that you want to go back to.
No, we need to move forward.
Yeah.
And we need to, as I said, transform our systems to meet the needs of of our world today, which is very different. I mean, you think about AI, you think about ChatGPT, so that requires that we start thinking about how instruction needs to change. If I had ChatGPT when I was teaching, I'm telling you, I would have done things
You actually jumped in to my next question with that, because I know that you have a long term interest in technology and education. What are you suggesting leaders be looking at as they consider the impacts of AI?
Well, first of all, I think we need to embrace it. I want people to embrace it and bring it into the systems to make our work more efficient and better for the adults, and to really show students how to use this effectively and ethically. So I'm really interested in bringing this, and we've been doing sessions around what it is, for this past year. I've brought Dr. Bill Daggett in to talk about this a lot to our superintendents and our education leaders across the region. But I want us to embrace it. We know about some systems that are shutting it down. To me, that's a mistake, because we all know that we're already using AI. It's in our lives. And if we have the opportunity to teach children how to use it effectively to learn, let's do it. It's just another tool. And I in terms of, like, teachers, I'm constantly reading around what teachers are doing. And I've read how teachers are using it and telling students to go have a essay written and then bring it back to the classroom. Okay, how can we make this better? Then have the kids critique it. How to use it to help teachers give immediate feedback to children on writing. You know, you could use this tool to your benefit as a teacher, as a professional, and then students. You know, I think it's our responsibility to expose our children to everything that's out there and really teach them. My big thing is, let's teach children how to discern between, you know, what a good reliable source is and how they need to really look at this, because they may get an essay that's full of fluff, that's not true. But how can they figure out and find, you know, what is not true in that essay? And that's where they need to become critical thinkers. They need to be able to discern good resources. They need to be able to figure out, you know, let me look at this, you know, at the source that this essay has in it, and say, you know, they need to be able to do their own investigation. And so, but I'm a big fan of, let's embrace it and let's move forward, because it's here and it's here to stay.
My stepdaughter is a doctor here in Italy, and she was visiting this weekend, and she jumped on to show me the site she's using to double check a diagnosis, come up with extra questions she might want to have asked, run a double, triple check back on combinations of medicines. I mean, on her phone as she's sitting there. So to not know how to manage and use that, it would be crazy, really.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And in every field.
Yep.
Yep. Every field.
I know that in your role, you assist districts in your region in their superintendent searches. And I'm wondering what encouragement and advice you would have for new and upcoming district leaders.
So, yes, we assist boards with superintendent searches. And, you know, those who come in, I encourage them to connect with other leaders that have been in the role. So informally, we assign informal mentors to the new superintendents. I also encourage them to get a coach. You know, sometimes educators may feel that, oh, I was hired to do this job, it must be because I have all the answers. You know, the best athletes have coaches. And I know you're a big fan of coaches, and mentors, and I am too, because you know, it's always good to have, I have informal mentors. If I'm coming across something that I'm like, oh God, what am I going to do? Or goodness, what am I going to do with this particular challenge? I will pick up the phone and call one of my informal mentors and say, hey, I'm dealing with this. And a good mentor, a good coach will ask you a lot of questions, right? But I strongly recommend connect with others. Don't think you have to go at it alone.
I'm wondering what thoughts you have as to the role that current superintendents should play in preparing the next generation of district level school leaders.
So I really believe that we need our you know, current superintendents, those who are sitting in the seat now, to tap on others in their systems, to give of their gifts as leaders, to build the pipeline of superintendents. I know you're aware of how many superintendents are leaving, and you know, we have this shortage, and we have a shortage of educators throughout the system. It's not only teachers. I talk about, you know, the fact that we don't talk enough about the fact that there is a shortage of superintendents, and a lot of superintendents are stressed out because of all the politics that have, there's always been politics in education, but now, you know, it's become even, you know, there's some topics that have just entered the systems that are driving superintendents out. So I urge superintendents to give of their experiences to others, mentor others, you know, bring others along in your systems, because we need to build a strong pipeline. I also ask people to please tap on some minorities. You know, our student population has become more diverse and is continuing to become more diverse as time, you know, as time goes by. And we have very little diversity at the top. And so ask people to please consider, you know, having more women in the role, having more minorities in the role, because it's important for our students to see themselves in leaders.
Yeah. So as we wrap up, I'm wondering any closing thoughts that you might want to share with our listeners.
I just want those of you who are in the superintendent role, thank you for all you're doing to ensure that our systems continue to meet the needs of our learners. I know that it hasn't been easy the past few years, but reach out to others, reach out to other superintendents, connect with others. I truly believe that the power is in the collective wisdom, and really don't do this on your own. It can be a very lonely job, but it could also be, it's the best job in the world. You know, education is the best job in the world, the best field in the world, and you have the power to really influence what education will be for the learners. And so keep doing what you're doing and connect with others.
Thank you so much. I'm wondering a way that listeners might check back with you with a question or follow anything up with you.
I'm very transparent, and people can reach out to me. My email is pretty easy. You can look up at questar.org. You can follow me on X at Gladys I. Cruz. And my email is gcruz@questar.org. So please reach out.
We'll list those in the lead-in to the podcast. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And it's been a pleasure to connect with you.
Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
You have a great day and a great start to the school year there.
Thank you so much. And take care and keep doing great things for schools.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.